Hey, Pupster, welcome to Train a Dog Podcast, and we thank you for supporting us for Season 1. We are now into our Season 2, and we want to thank you for your continuous support. Pups Dog Training promotes positive training at its best, kind, fair, and effective. And we are setting out this podcast again, right? It's because we fully believe that owning a dog is an amazing and rewarding experience, but also a responsibility and not a luxury. Training your dog properly will lead you to greater understanding of the animal, and we firmly believe in the dog-owner relationship being one of the mutual understanding and respect. We immerse you fully in the dog training process, and with this holistic approach, we believe owners end up learning as much, if not more, than their dogs. Our goals is to enhance and to build a better quality of life for you and your dog through the various dog sport activities available, be it as dog training, basic dog obedience training, or competitive dog training. This way, we also helps to refine the communication skill between you and your dog. There is more to dog training than just obedience training. And you can find us on our website, right? Our URL is www.pups.com.sg. Pups as in pups.com.sg. And we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handling of PupsSG, PupsSG. And you also can find us in our blog and also our YouTube, right, with the handling of Dog or Pups Jamming Studio. And in our blog will be Pups Blog Series. Hey, what's up? Thanks for joining me for the minicast for this Season 2. And this is Episode 2, Leash Reactivity in Dogs. Right, so today we want to touch on this topic, which is a very common issue with a lot of dogs, especially in Singapore, where we see that a lot of dog owners having the issue where they doesn't has the opportunity to allow the dogs to meet another dogs because of the past experience that they have. They are afraid that a dog will enter into a fight. They are afraid that a dog will basically bite another dog. And, you know, and such thing actually take away the opportunity for the dog to what goes into what we call the rehab. The counter-conditioning as what we all speak of in terms of our technique that we will use to rehabilitate a leash reactive dog. And this is something that I have seen very prevalent in Singapore. Right, I have a opportunity to meet up with this new family that they have just migrated from the United States. And as a family of three, they are so kind to basically adopted a Labrador retriever, which is roughly about 6 years old. And she is a very sweet dog, right? I would say she loves people. You know, the only thing that she doesn't like is the sights of dog, especially when she's on the leash. You know, she will basically she will bark, she will whine, she will basically goes forward and even go for a snap at the dog, right? So these are very common that we see in dogs that are lagging the social skill. They doesn't have the time being introduced to a proper socialization when they are young, especially for the past owner. You know, they basically doesn't take the time or does not think that it's necessary to subject their dog to a good etiquette of meeting up with another dogs, because like us, right, when we meet each other, there is a formal etiquette that we will follow. You know, we will shake each other's hand, we will greet each other, you know, introduce ourselves and so forth. You know, or there are the friendly type where we will see each other, you will give each other a hug, or you will kiss each other on the cheeks, you know, for example, just to say hi to each other. You know, these are the more Westerner form of greetings, right? Of course, now being in the COVID-19 pandemic, we are all on the mask, and we doesn't promote, you know, kissing each other in the cheek, in the sense, right? It's just for hygiene purpose, just to prevent the spread of this COVID-19 viruses, right? As we have also heard that there are really a new variants of mutated variants of this COVID-19, So I want to tell or let my listener know that let's all practice safe, right? Please make sure that your all masks are on when you're out on the street, when you go to visit your friends, your relative, or you're meeting up with your business contact. Let's put on the mask, you know, to help each other, to ensure that, you know, we will not infect each other, right? And, you know, practice good hygiene purpose. For example, wash your hand, you know, keep the social distance, you know, and of course, you know, keep it small in terms of the group that we are gathering together, right? That will help us to basically manage this COVID-19, and hopefully by 2021, we will see that we will be back in a more normal world that we used to be a year ago. This 2020 has been tough, especially for all of us who are, you know, having difficulty sometimes to really keep pace with such a pandemic, mm-hmm. where we need to again learn how to, you know, live our life with a new set of standards and things like that. Right, so let's go back to the leash reactivity. Right, I just want to, from my perspective, I actually want to bring to your attention, you know, I have basically seen many of the ex-owner of a reactive dog, and end of the day, you know, what they will do is that they will, because of the reactiveness of the dog, you know, the barking, the lunging, sometimes maybe air snapping, sometimes maybe actual bites and things like that, has put them off into to the level where they would prefer not to meet another dog, right? So by doing so, the dog will never get recovered, right? Because they are never been taught the right way, the right etiquette to meet each other, the way to, you know, to keep calm. And therefore, the dogs will be forever unsociable, right? Just like this beautiful lab that we are talking about in the beginning of the mini-cast, right? This beautiful lab, she's so sweet, you know. The only problem, I think, that is barking the owner is actually, you know, the leash reactivity, you know. And we want to look at it, why do I want to revisit this? I think we have to look at it in a very different angle, you know. Sometimes we will think that, okay, the best thing is to avoid the confrontation. Yes, I agree with you, by avoiding the confrontation, you may bring the trigger to the lowest, but however, you did not change that the attitude of the dog, the mindset of the dog when it sees another dog. You know, the attitude is still there, right? When I see a dog, I need to kill the dog, right? So that is the concept of almost all reactive dog, because of the, you know, the uncomfortableness, they feel the anxiousness, you know, like without the knowledge of how what they must do to get accepted in terms of the, you know, in the social norm, you know, when they meet another dog, they doesn't have that skill set, right? So what we need to do is really have to, you know, keep ourselves updated with the skill set, you know, and to find ourselves able to do, you know, a few of the stuff I think that's necessary to, you know, to introduce the way to rehab, you know, where such reactive, leash reactive dogs will require the owner to be able to perform that, so that they can then live a normal life. Right, so let's look at it. What are the things that we can do? I guess the first thing we can do is what, as I mentioned again, we can do counter conditioning. Right, so what we want to do is to typically change the attitude of the dog. You know, right now, the sights of any dogs will trigger the unhappiness, the anxiousness, the angers, you know, and whatever not, right, that's causing the dog to be upset. And, you know, and the sights of the dog continues to trigger, continue to escalate. And, you know, with the distance in between them gets shorter as you allow them to even approach closer, you know, the angles gets escalated, you know, the intensity gets intensified, and the dogs gets angrier, right? So what we must do, we need to do counter-conditioning. Counter-conditioning is basically, is to, you know, to change the mindset of the dog, right? To for example, you know, in this case, you know, this girl, this lab, you know, hates the sight of another dog. So now what we're going to do, every single time when it sees a dog, regardless of what dog, big, small, you know, reactive, not reactive. As long as he sees the dog, he hears the marker, he hears the clicks, he gets his food, and then he walks away. Right, so that will be a good introduction. Right, of course, we will play with the distance, meaning to say that we will keep a distance apart between a incoming dog, you know, from our leash reactive dog, so that we have time for the dog to basically, you know, take a look, you know, and decide what to do. And if he chooses not to react, you know, he hears the click, he hears the marker, he takes his treat, and then we will off we go, right? And we will help the dog to basically de-escalate, right? We want to keep the intensity of the dog low, so that every time he sees the dog, it gets more happy. Right, so one of the good way of doing so is that, for example, if I were to tell you every time you need to see this dog in order to get your lunch or your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, in 3 meals a day, you have to see a dog to get your food, right? And in a week or a month, you know, you have seen so many times of a dog. And I'm sure that you will begin to like the dog, because every time the presence of the dog brings you goodies, right? Sights of the dog brings you, you know, happy feeling, right? Because the owner is going to reward you big time, you know. And that kind of cortical conditioning basically will help the dog to basically change the attitude and begin to like the dog, right? That is the other thing that is important, right? The second thing I think that is critical would be, for example, you know, always allow the safe distance between the two dogs. Like, right? When I say the safe distance, we're talking about social distancing. Due to the fact that we are right now in COVID-19, we are all very anal about this term, social distance, right? But in the real fact, if you go and Google, social distance is basically a safe distance between two human beings or two animals, you know, where they will feel that they are at ease. Like, for example, if I were to meet you for the very first time, right, you will not allow me to stand too close to you, right? Because that is typically, it's a rude gesture, right? Because I doesn't know you that well, and I don't think you would like me to stand as close as possible. Like, when it's like when we becomes buddy, that becomes no issue, right? Because we would love to be close to each other. But for the very first start, when we start meeting in somewhere else, I think we will keep our distance. This is what we call the social distance, right? The social distance allow us to feel safe, allow us to feel that, you know, we have our personal space. We got a good in between gap for us to react if we need to. We can walk away if we want to. You know, we can even interrupt the person coming into our face, right? So it's the same thing with the dog, right? So if you keep it in the social distance, the safe distance between two dogs, you know, he will be happy, you know, he will be calm, and he gets again his click and treat, he gets his mark and treat, and then with that, he gets to move away, right? So that is what we want to do using the social distancing. Again, we are counter conditioning the dog. We are asking the dog to do the right thing. You know, there is other option that you can do, right? Beside the lunging, the barking, the snapping, you know, there's another thing that you can do. Just stare, you know, and then you will get a cookie, and then you get to move out of that safe distance, right? Into an even safer distance as you go sport, more far apart away from the dogs.
This podcast is sponsored by Pups Dog Training. Pups is a positive dog training school. We train dogs from puppy to advanced. Pups Training currently focuses on nurturing, training, educating, and motivating our trainers to better equip themselves with skills, knowledge, experience to ensure continuing education and keeping abreast with the field of dog training. Our flagship programs include online cyber puppy training, life skills, dog obedience, behavioral modification, private one-on-one home-based training, and dog spots.
Right, so next thing that you can do, which I would recommend you do, is to, you know, if you know that friends of yours do have a dog that would like to walk with you in the daily walks, you know, you can join them, right? So together, as you walk, the dog gets to know each other, the dog gets to feel that they can basically, you know, work together, you know, and that's basically continue to expose your dog to another dog. And obviously, during the walk, you need to make sure that there's no trigger. Your dog doesn't come so close where they will actually have a fight or they will have a squabble. You know, that will reset everything back to square one, right? So what is critical is to basically maintain that safe distance, maintain that social distancing so that your dog will not be triggered and they will be good and calm to walk together, you know, throughout the entire walks, right? That will basically teach them to know that to have the concept of having each other in the presence, you know, and having no issue when two of them walk together, right? So by walking together, will also promote counter conditioning that we are talking about, right? The next thing you can do basically is to feed your dog once it's at the side of another dog, right? For example, like I mentioned to this client of mine, you know, that they a family of three, they just adopted this beautiful lab. I recommended them to do is that to bring the dog down to see his neighbor dog and then bring him back in and feed him, right? What we want to do is, again, you know, the dog gets to see the dog, the neighbor's dog, and then without trigger, you know, he's going to be rewarded with his entire meal, right? So that will promote a very good feeling, because if you think about it, right, when you're angry, will you be able to eat your food? No, sometimes you are not able, right? Most of the time you are not possible, right? Like for myself, when I'm angry, I will not eat, right? And or am I anxious, I will not eat either. So because of that, you know, it is a very good gauge that every time when he sees a dog, we bring him back, we feed him his food, and if he eats, means that he has been his state of mind has basically relaxes, and he's in the frame of mind that he can begin to eat his food, which means that your counter conditioning works in that aspect. Now, the next thing you can do, right, is what we call, we can get a helper's dog, right? And I'm lucky to have my own golden retriever, right? So she's a very beautiful girl and has very great temperament, right? Then she will be able to help me to help to rehab all these leash reactive dog. And also what I do is I bring her along to meet up with my client together with his family, and then we go for the walk, you know, and then we give them a very good socialization, gets them to meet close and gets a lot of reward, a lot of fun. And then eventually, you guess what we will be able to do? We let them off in their backyard, you know, and the dog just run around, you know, sniffing each other, getting so comfortable with each other. Right, so that is also one of the way that you can do, is to get a helper's dog to be able to then bridge the difference of the leash reactive dog and a helper's dog. Right, so with all these solutions that is given, I'm sure that you will be able to, you know, somehow mitigate the leash reactivity of your dogs, and I wish that you will be able to do that, and so that you can eliminate all the unnecessary, uncomfortable a feeling that you have when you're walking your dog out, you know, in the outdoor, right? So once again, thanks for joining us at our mini cast, and we hope to see you the next round, right? See ya. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and you can find us in www.pups.com.sg, and again, pups is pups.com.sg. And if you like our podcast and our episode, we will want you to, you know, to subscribe on the favorite listening podcast media, and you will be able to get the updated series as and when we have a new episode out for grabs, right? And we want you to provide us some feedback and some reinforcement so that we can continue to do a great job, provide a great experience and a great podcast to share with you guys. Right, you can leave a review at www.podcaster.com/pupsg. Right, as I repeat again, you can leave a review at www.podchaser.com/pups, P-U-P-S-S-G. Right, and we want to thank you again. We see you in our next episode.